That was my flight. I missed it.
Yeah.
Honey, we're hot.
I'm hot.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.
Hi, it's Jake Johansson, and you're listening to The Angry Atheists. What?
It's ardent.
Well, right, but I did the show, so I know what it is. It's angry. They're angry.
Hello, and welcome to Ardent Atheists, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from her ferocious vocals at Monday Night Tees at Three Clubs in Hollywood. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to the ardentatheist.com page /live and chat us up right now.
That's right, ardentatheist.com/live, as Heather didn't say it. And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review, help us get in the top 10, or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
Do it if you want to be in our special group, Atheists and Then Some.
We aren't a special group.
Atheists that are cooler than other atheists?
No.
Atheists that don't suck too bad most of the time?
We can be that.
Woohoo!
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one,
guests may plug anything they want because they are not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
That's exactly right. And rule number two, if your listener has ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you pompous, in-group creating, self-righteous, non-believing jackass. In the studio tonight, we have Jamie Ian Swiss, Jason Ressler, and Maurice Northup. You know these heathens from showbiz. Hi, guys.
Greetings.
Salutations.
We're thrilled to be here. Thank you.
You sound fucking thrilled.
God damn, I'm happy to be here.
I'm trying to sound cool.
I'm happy to be off the 101 and in the air conditioner.
Shit. Where'd you have to drive from? How far?
Woodland Hills after I picked him up in Van Nuys.
Yeah, you guys are bitching about Van Nuys and Woodland Hills.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with you?
Boy, Jamie came all the way from
grinding to a halt.
I know, right?
Enough, Jesus. Now we're talking about the traffic.
Where did you come from, Jamie?
Where did I come from? Well, locally, I came from Hollywood because I'm appearing at the world famous.
But you don't
Magic
live
Castle.
Here.
You're I don't. I currently live mostly in San Diego.
Oh, really?
Right.
Cool.
But most of my life, born and raised in New York City.
You're an East Coaster. We were driving today, going to get a bite to eat before the show, and he was screaming at some asshole in the crosswalk who was risking his own life.
Southern California, man. These people, the pedestrians have the right of way.
We do.
And they use it. They really exercise that right. They believe in that right deeply. And I did not know until I got to San Diego that a human being could walk across the street in front of a car waiting at a stop sign that slowly. I did not know it was possible.
Look.
And in New York, you know, it's an entire culture based completely on flip-flops. That's what it is. That's what it is. Okay? And in New York, what I was screaming at that guy today, as a matter of fact, now you mentioned it, if you recall, I think my words were something along the lines of, in New York, you would die! And that is because of two reasons. Two reasons.
Yeah.
One, because you would be run over. But more importantly, you would move faster because you had something to do.
Right. You did yell that.
You'd have something in your head.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm from the East Coast, too, and I'm still not used to walking in the middle of the street traffic.
I'm trying to cross the
wall. Because they're driving fast towards me. Don't put me across the street when I'm, like, staring at the car that's going 50 miles an hour towards me and expect them to stop.
You never saw Midnight Cowboy? I'm walking here.
I favor this on the side of the driver that will hit me, and I just won't even cross the street.
Yeah, I favor on the if he hits me,
I get paid.
Or you die, which is not as favorable.
I'm ready to die.
All right, let me know that earlier. Why didn't you?
Jason Ressler is on a tour. You work with Ian.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ian's last name?
Ian Harris.
You tour the country, and you do a show that's specifically aimed at atheism. Is that right?
Skepticism. My set.
Take two.
Is more how.
we'll fix this.
Is more how it all relates politically, in practical life terms.
Yeah.
I am an atheist myself. He delves more into the religious side of it as far as the material on stage, but we're very like-minded.
We didn't want to do a show where we're you know circle jerking the same topics over and over. So we're very cognizant to not step on each other's feet. We want to cover different topics, and there's a large umbrella. So you know, it, most of the religious stuff Ian covers. I talk a little bit about you know skepticism about reincarnation and people that are you know dog psychiatrists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, I do have a little bit of religious stuff. I talk. I have a new piece. I fucking just so thrilled with it about the burqa actually. But so we all try to cover different things. But
and
you know,
I talk
Jason's
about what it was like to be married to a Christian for over 10 years.
Yeah,
that sounds awful.
Well, yeah, it's better now.
You got
Catholic?
Out
Christian or Catholic? Because they're different.
Lutheran,
for the
actually, but
oh well, that's not a lot of sex. Never mind.
Yeah, it definitely was fuel for comedic material, though.
Right.
And once I was out of the marriage and no longer felt so repressed, and could actually speak out fully about a lot of the things that it, you know, as a performer.
So you're in a relationship and you're just keeping your mouth shut while she is this religious zealot?
I'm in a relationship with a religious person.
Are you really?
Oh no.
What's his name?
His yes, name so is easy. Janice, and he shaves very close.
So,
she was raised Catholic, but she's not really Catholic. When she describes what she believes about the universe, she's really describing deism. So she's really a deist who calls herself a Catholic, who's really like, and I'm, you know, I don't push my beliefs. I really don't. I never bring it up. I don't ever say things to press or offend her.
Well, let's be clear about your beliefs. What beliefs are we talking about?
I'm an atheist. I'm a very vocal atheist, and I'm constantly making jokes and remarks and criticisms of religion and stuff. And
but you're a married man, so you're not vocal at home.
Are you married?
No, I'm
he's not married. Are you married?
I wear a ring, and we're shacked up. There's nothing on paper or in front of God or nothing. But
or the government.
Yeah, exactly. It's a decision we made, and we don't need anybody else getting fucking involved with it. But
yeah.
I hear that. I'm all for
nothing
that.
Wrong with living in sin, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm all for that.
What's sin?
Who defines sin?
Apparently, exactly. Christians, Muslims, Jews, kind of everybody.
Well, everybody, all of them. They all do. But
I don't believe in sin, for the record, just to be clear.
Yeah, I believe in you can be a dick or not be a dick. That's pretty basic. And, you know, there are certain things that I think are there are certain things I believe are immoral. You know, stealing and killing are wrong.
Yes.
You know, these
we'd like to thank the Ten Commandments for getting us, four of them, I think?
Yeah. But
giving us four dictums by which we already
these
were living.
These are all in our DNA, man. It's all part of our genes. And, you know, we've evolved to be cooperative creatures. We've evolved to rely on each other for survival. So these things are just... They really are second nature to us.
Yeah. Well, we had ethics long before.
That's with the in-group, but we've also evolved to be separate and battle the out-group.
Well, the religious people just have a bunch of liars who want to take credit for it, you know. Well, sure. If it wasn't for our bullshit,
well, of course.
You'd be a horrible
prick.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
But what are the statistics some as far as people, atheists that are in prison?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't most people in prison? Yeah. Religious, right?
Yeah, the majority.
Well,
majority.
You know, that's a loaded statistic to talk about, first of all.
Yeah,
because
you know,
first of all, you got
versus causation
exactly.
is the fundamental problem,
they go
the challenge
there and find
of the human
God.
Condition on a day-to-day basis.
Right,
so.
And the claim.
And not to mention the number of atheists in general society.
When you're in prison, you are on a completely different set of rules. And by those rules, you will sometimes claim to be something that you're not, or you will become something to protect yourself. There are so many other pressures under
sure.
which that system is that
and nobody's holding up
a
carrot that says, you know, if you declare yourself an atheist, you're going to have a better shot at the parole board, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I don't believe God's going to make me a good person when I get out.
As an atheist activist, I try to be really careful not to cite things that don't support accurately my position.
And 3 out of 10 times you're correct.
7 to 5. I recently jumped on some friends who were spouting this "In God We Trust" on the money thing, and you know, leave it to the Republicans to choose your words carefully to be able to get away with a claim that's not quite accurate.
Isn't that our economic plan, though?
Let's be very clear. Yes, it is. In God We Trust has been on our money for a long motherfucking time,
but not the whole time.
It started out on our coins. So if you're going to use this argument, you gotta be fucking accurate. You can't say that it just showed up on our money in the 50s when coins are money.
You know what I mean? And that shit pisses me off. You got to be accurate. That's all I'm saying. I'm a skeptic and an atheist.
Thank you. Good night.
Critical thinking is important, and honesty is important when it comes to things, you know, like quoting prison statistics and that sort of thing.
No, I wasn't sure. I was just asking the question.
No, I hear you. I wasn't jumping on you. I'm saying you hear that a lot. That's all I mean. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm curious about the show. You say the show is designed for, intended for atheist and skeptic audience kind of thing. And how do you...
That's one of the things we're marking. It's intelligently designed humor. the, you know, we left our out that.
And so none of the jokes are more than 7,000 years old.
Well, just my act.
How do people find it, by the way?
Yes, exactly. I'm so how Jurassic do you get comic. That message out that that's what who the show is for?
Stuff like this is one way.
But nobody listens to this shit.
Hey, wait a minute.
Well, nobody's
213,000 downloads last month. Thanks, Mom.
Mom still got that spam bot running from
her.
She
does.
From her Skype call.
Oh, hell, she's got a whole
and she's learned how to use Windows so she can keep the porn on at the same time.
Yeah. I love my mom.
She's got some bandwidth. She can still run a botnet and stream porn. That's remarkable.
What is it?
She's got the bandwidth that she can both have a botnet and stream porn.
Oh, and
stream porn. I know. I had the same problem with it. I thought it was a new kind of porn.
I'm like, where
I
is
had
this
to see. What's the URL, baby?
Sorry. No.
Who's Anstream?
Exactly.
She sounds hot. I'm a fucking pervert.
We had exactly the same reaction
to
that.
We did.
Sick.
I wonder if the same people hate us that hate each other. No, I wonder
it's
if the same people.
Line.
I wonder if the same people. Yeah, I have a lot of people that don't like me. I wonder if they don't.
I always tell you can Google my name with your favorite epithet, and you are going to get those hits.
Okay?
Just the top 10, you're going to get hits on everyone.
I'm not famous enough. You have to talk to people I know. But.
Nigga, please. Don't cut me for saying that.
No, but how do you really? Does the show have a name that...
It's called theevolutionofcomedy.com, and we've got a website up, and we you know, advertise in local papers depending... I mean, it's like being in a band, man. You got to call and see how much is advertising in that market.
Really nice write-ups.
We can try and get local press if we can, try and get interviews with people.
Where are your upcoming gigs? You got one coming soon, right?
We're in Denver here. On
Denver at the Comedy Works, the
Atheist
Landmark.
Well, he's doing the Atheist Convention with Ian, and then I'm going to be doing some promoting it for the show the next night, which is going to be at the Comedy Works South in Denver on the 2nd of September. But you can go to the convention and see Ian, and Jason on the 1st, and then we're going to be in Albuquerque on the 29th at the Ox Dog Theater.
Really, Ox Dog Theater?
Yeah, it's going to be just the Saturday. Ox Dog, the AUX.
How does a theater end up called the Ox Dog? I have to wonder.
I think it's named after an actual dog. They have some kind of dog that somebody owned, and it has.
So someone named their dog an auxiliary.
If you can get an ox and a dog to be doing it, I'd pay to see it.
Shit,
an ox and a dog, yeah.
But you and I go to Tijuana this weekend.
There you go.
Get a room, fun boys.
What's Spanish for
fun
ox?
Boys.
How do you say ox in Spanish?
I don't know.
Yo quiero una puta, un burro, y un ox.
Oxen.
I almost said it in French.
Plural,
you
got to go for the plural. Right. You want the farm.
Yeah, no, I'm not paying a couple.
I think the Spanish is ali ali oxen free.
No free. It's no free. You have to pay.
I thought it was ox like auxiliary. A-U-X.
Yeah, no, that's how it is. AUX.
Oh,
Ox Auxiliary.
Well, that completely guts
it. It is a whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Well,
see, now it makes sense.
Fuck me.
Now
no, it doesn't. No, for
don't
the record.
Don't clue in the audience for the sake of ruining the joke about the plural of oxen.
I think Dylan Brody says, never let the truth get in the way of a good joke.
Yeah.
But I will let it get in the way of them finding the venue. So it's AUXDOG.
Jesus,
and we'll
that
be back with Marlon Perkins'
show?
Wild Kingdom after this.
That's right.
Fuck that.
You're
bear.
Listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mary. ROAD.com/Emery Emery and get a piece of comedy that should never have been made, let alone sold to living human beings.
But now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Jamie E. and Swiss, Jason Ressler, and Maurice North. Again, thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. I love talking to you, Jamie, about the skeptic movement. And you know, we got into this on Skeptically Yours a little bit, but not a lot. And your presentation this year at TAM was specifically about the for me, you know, I'm just personalizing it, was about the difference, for example, between being atheist and skeptic. That wasn't just what it was about, but it certainly spoke to me because I'm an outspoken atheist in the skeptic community.
Right.
And I do want to make sure we talk about that today as well, because from an atheistic standpoint, from people who are activists for atheism or against religion is really the best way to say it, in my opinion. I don't even like putting ism on the end of atheism. Or atheist. I don't like it because it's not a belief system, in my opinion. It really isn't. It's just an arrived at opinion. In fact,
it's a non-belief system.
Well, it's not a system.
Yeah.
It's
right.
in my
it's
opinion.
Not a system.
It's not a system.
It's a conclusion.
Right. It's a conclusion. It's
a reasonable conclusion.
A foregone conclusion. Some might say. But there is an issue as we're gathering, because we are, ma'am, we are coagulating. Into groups, and there's a skeptic
to use
movement,
a moist term.
To use a moist, sexy term. There are skeptics gathering together. There are atheists gathering together, and then there are these subcoagulations going on.
And there's also secular humanism in that Venn diagram. And
well, listen, secular humanism is what I think Atheist Plus is trying to be, the Atheist Plus folks. And I only say that because I'm quoting a good friend that I'm not sure wanted to be quoted. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, do you want to explain? Do you want to provide any background here?
I'm offering you the opportunity to nay
well,
or say
that. Well,
I
gave a talk at the Amazing Meeting, which is the world's largest annual skeptic conference held every year in Las Vegas and produced by the James Randi Educational Foundation. We were 1,300 strong this year, and I gave a talk about the relationship between the skeptic movement, the atheist movement, and the secular humanist movement. And there's a lot of overlap between those movements. There always has been. We expect there always will be. I, for one, am an atheist, for example. I don't particularly strongly label myself as a secular humanist, but if you sat down and asked me the questions about what I believe philosophically and morally about the world, I would probably end up scoring high on the secular humanist measurement. But despite those things...
You're pro-gay rights. And
exactly.
You
I'm
think dames should
right.
be equal.
Yeah. I believe in right and wrong, and I'm pro-human rights. And that is an essential part of secular humanism and has been for as far back as we can call that a modern movement. But I personally am a skeptical activist. I'm a believer in those other things, but I'm a skeptical activist. I've been a skeptic activist for, I don't know, some 30 years. I founded a number of local or regional organizations, and New York City Skeptics, National Capital Area Skeptics. I'm a founder of the Northeast Conference on Science and Skepticism, held every year in New York, and I host it on stage. And I'm involved with the Randi Foundation in many different ways, including in the administration of the Million Dollar Challenge. And the reason I'm a skeptic activist, that's the reason I choose that place to be in my activism, is because I think that skepticism is about promoting not a conclusion, but a way of thinking.
Uh-huh.
Skepticism is about embracing a scientific worldview, teaching critical thinking, teaching rational inquiry. And I think that's the way you make the world a better place. That's why it's where my activism falls. I think you make the world a better place, literally, by teaching people how to think more better.
And amen.
Exactly. Wait, amen.
They can get language down later.
Mo better.
And so I am perfectly willing to, as a skeptic, I'm perfectly willing to engage with, indeed welcome into my skeptic tent, if you will, people who are believers, for example, people who claim
is it cozy in your tent?
Oh, baby, it's warm. It's moist.
Well, I don't know if I
want
that.
So if you believe in God, but you want to think critically and you want to learn the scientific process and you want to be an activist for skepticism.
Exactly.
Then Jamie Ian Swiss is inviting you into a tent that he pitched.
It doesn't mean that you will get any special protections being a religious believer. You will not get a hands-off situation. Prepare to have your beliefs challenged,
even ridiculed,
even mocked.
This is exactly what our show is.
But that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, if you are fundamentally embracing a scientific worldview, then I welcome you in the skeptic movement. I like to think that it actually might eventually lead you to atheism, but I don't care about the conclusion you reach because I think you're going to make the world a better place right that instant by using that way of thinking. As opposed to, although I support atheist activism. I'm a big supporter of my friend Richard Dawkins and the whole notion of the coming out of atheists. I think mm-hmm. that's a terrific mm-hmm. model. But that kind of atheism, the new atheist, the four horsemen, you know, Dan Dennett and the late Christopher Hitchens, all of whom I know.
The three horsemen who are dragging one dead body behind them.
That's exactly correct. And calling it dancing. Richard Dawkins comes, his atheism that he promotes comes from a scientific worldview. And that's a great thing. And in that way, our movements are compatible. And we are just running, I think we're running different armies, you know, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines, to our respective battlefields in the same war against unreason.
Right.
But there are others in the atheist movement, others who identify as atheists, who don't necessarily come from that to that conclusion from that scientific worldview, what you might call faith-based atheist, if you will, and can end up in very anti-science, anti-rational places. And so I don't think that you're automatically a skeptic if you claim to be an atheist, and I also don't believe that you need to be required to be an atheist in order to claim yourself a skeptic. That's really what it comes down to.
Right, right, right.
And I also think that as far as you mentioned Atheist Plus, which is a conversation that's about a week old, I find it a little confusing. What I see is looks a lot like secular humanism.
It
and
is.
I don't mean that in a bad way. My colleague from the New York City Skeptics, Massimo Piucci, just wrote something about this, and he said, listen, I'm all for it. If you're talking about atheism that includes an interest in human rights, then I'm a progressive atheist. And in fact, now that I think of it, I'm paraphrasing Massimo, but now that I think of it, I was already a progressive atheist. I call it being a secular humanist. That's not a new idea. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the history of secular humanism has always been about atheism plus human rights.
Well, let me ask you this. Is secular humanism as a movement, is it viable? Is it functioning?
I think it's alive and well. I think the world becomes more. I think part of secular humanism is that it has a moral component to atheism. And it has a human rights component, and it has been there from birth. I mean, Paul Kurtz and Madeleine Murray O'Hare argued about this. She wanted to be atheists and nothing else.
Okay.
And Paul Kurtz, who eventually founded the Center for PsyCop and then the Center for Inquiry, wanted it to include human rights and women's rights and gay rights. And that discussion and debate has occurred in those movements for decades. It didn't just arrive yesterday. And not only that, the current leadership movement, if you will, of the American atheist, carries on in the tradition of O'Hare, which is to say, we're not interested in human rights. We are just an atheist organization.
Right,
so
right.
If you have a problem with that, then go to them.
Right.
Why aren't they arguing with them? I don't really get it.
If you're going to spend that much effort to liberate the human brain, you should probably liberate the rest of the body as well.
the title humanists and the title atheists, do you think, I was having a conversation on Twitter with someone and they said some people are, like herself, are more comfortable identifying themselves as an atheist than a humanist, and I never heard of such a thing.
I think that's very common, and again that's a debate and a discussion that's gone on throughout the history of 20th century atheism and secular humanism. People who want to distinguish themselves between being, you know, focused entirely on the cause of atheism and anti-religion, as you say, Emery, which Richard Dawkins would agree with you in a moment on that in an instant, or if you're interested in incorporating human rights. You're a secular humanist as well as being an atheist. And I don't know anybody, I haven't met anybody yet who's opposed to human rights in the atheist or skeptic movement. I haven't met the person yet
but
who says, I'm opposed to women's rights or I'm opposed to gay rights. I haven't run up against
well,
that.
Well, they use code.
But
Heather is a turncunt, for the record. I don't know if you knew that. and I'm quite a misogynist. I don't know if you're aware of that, but... chicks keep saying it. I don't know why. But here's the deal. Let me read you something real quickly that was written by Jen McCrite. Is that how we say her name?
McCrite, I think.
McCrite? I don't think she's necessarily right. But honestly, I see A plus as atheism plus humanism plus skepticism. So she's responding to what you're saying. In other words, that it's really interesting how they do this limbo trick in this particular movement, where when you say, but all you're really doing is X. No, no, we're going to add on Y now. We hadn't thought of that yet. But that's what she says. Plus skepticism. Not all humanists are atheists or skeptical. Not all skeptics are atheists or humanists. Not all atheists are humanists or skeptics. But I want to bring it all together. And hell, not all humanists are progressive. You don't know how many times I've had humanists yell at me for calling myself a feminist instead of a humanist. Because what feminism really means is hating men. And she's, of course, not saying that's what she thinks. That's what's being implied. I want to make sure when I quote someone I don't hit them wrong. But I just don't understand this desperate need to in-group, and I don't understand why.
It's human nature, man. Vegans, it's not enough to be vegetarian, you got to be a vegan. You know, I'm not into, you know, I'm only into certain types of hip-hop. I'm only into gangster rap, you know. Everybody's got to subdivide to make themselves.
I could tell that about you.
To feel distinct.
So we're just paramecium in a fucking dish.
But the really thing is if are you using that in an inclusive way or in a divisive way?
That's the difference you see, isn't it?
Yeah. My talk at TAM was not, although it was making philosophical distinctions, it was only in the sense of discussing strategy, that different groups have different focus points, different strategies, but I'm trying to actually make those definitions clearer to create good neighbors, to create people who are allies, as I say, different armies on the same battlefield towards reason. What confuses me a little about this is that it seems divisive. It seems to be putting down rules that say, if you're not with us, you're automatically against us.
Wait a minute. It's not divisive. I've got their list of proposed rules for their forum right
here.
What are you laughing at? It's just
reasonable rules.
Harassment is prohibited. Don't use insults that target a group. Provide forewarning of disturbing content. Swearing is permitted. I like that. Stick the flounce. I'm not going to pretend I'm that geeky. If you're looking for a fight, go elsewhere. And then there's the heading here, handling disagreement. Try to assume good faith at first. Don't carry hostility between threads. Don't import hostility to the forum. Civility guidelines are not inclusive for bad behavior. Arguments to avoid it gives you. Many arguments come up time and again and generally serve to aggravate rather than enlighten. Don't say don't feed the trolls. So they're saying don't say that. Okay. Don't lecture women on staying safe. Don't blame the victim. Don't say not all X are like that. Don't joke about the prison rape. Don't be pedantic about the words. Don't compl- I'm sorry.
I'm fine with all that until you got to the pedantic part.
Yeah, really? A lot of that.
Don't counter disparagement of physical appearance with compliments. Don't do that.
Don't compliment people. You can't tell somebody you look good.
Don't defend insulting language.
Fuck you.
But what if they're cunts?
Don't conflate social awkwardness with obnoxiousness. So be nice to everybody.
Now, I want to be very clear. Yeah. These are the proposed rules.
There's a lot more.
I would like to go on record as being okay with all of that.
Not even halfway down the page.
You are an amazing politician, sir.
But still, one of the things I was getting at before was that this person is now atheism has been used as such a dirty word for so long. This person is more comfortable being called an atheist, and she doesn't want to be called a humanist, which is like the dirty word for her. Even though she wants equal rights for everyone, she wouldn't call herself a humanist.
What's her trip on the word humanist?
I don't know. Right. She's just I'm not comfortable with that.
It's not clear.
If you'd like my opinion, I think she might actually be a secret alien.
Oh, that makes sense.
Aliens done it.
It offends her.
That's a reasonable and rational conclusion.
Yes, she's wrapped in this plastic coating that
no
she made.
No sock puppetry.
Sock puppetry. What kind of fucking world is this?
Well, that's what it says right there.
No sock puppetry?
Right, says it right. No impersonations and no sock puppets.
Get out.
No impressions.
It says that on the list, honey.
How do you know when you're being
Wait a minute. What if somebody is socially awkward and, you know, everybody's picking
Every
on
Every one
the
of
only
us
way
are.
They can express themselves is with a sock puppet. That's it. Like, I live in an abusive religious house and they beat me with Bibles and Korans both because they want to cover both bases. And I'm allowed on the internet 20 minutes a day, but I can only communicate through sock puppets because otherwise I cry when I talk.
Puppets not allowed.
No, not for me. Can't
I would
anybody.
Say there that person needs to be beat with a Torah.
Nah, go to Reddit. Go to Reddit. Bring your sock puppet to Reddit.
sounds like a dirty phrase, doesn't it?
The more you say it.
Right?
Sounds like something we used in the Navy.
Joe Swam says, what about sock monkeys? Are they
sock
okay?
monkeys? I love sock monkeys.
How many atheists did you say were there in the military?
I could have sworn this was going to be a
the religious people are taking over the military. Are you aware of this?
Well,
no.
The religious people are trying to take over the military.
What do you mean trying to take over?
I think a lot of people find atheism in the military.
You had a great story about being forced to take part in some ritual.
With a sock puppet.
But they use the same kind of hazing stuff. In his case, it's a great story, which you should tell here in a moment. But they have these hazing rituals when you cross the equator, right? It was the equator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they do the same thing where they, you know, for this it's a age-old naval tradition that they make people go through when they cross the equator. But they also have various branches have these religious cadres, these religious groups, and usually there'll be a high-ranking officer who's, you know, religious, and he's like, you know, we're going to start getting the Bible into these troops. And
right.
And I know the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs had a lot. There was a lot of hullabaloo there because of that. But I was
and
just.
There's also been lawsuits within.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It starts out in boot camp. If you want to be able to take a nap at all during that three month period, you'll quickly learn that going to the chapel on Sunday is a place where you can get a couple of hours of sleep in.
Anywhere.
You know, and then at the end, they play the Lee Greenwood song, and everybody, you know, feels good and can send their parents a nice postcard of them and their all their buddies dancing to the Lee Greenwood song. Yeah.
Right.
What?
Yeah. What it is it's passive indoctrination.
Right.
It's just passive indoctrination. It's circumstantial indoctrination. Yeah. Make them so fucking sleepy that and give them one place to go. And that's it. That's how it works.
Chapel, a safe place to fart.
Well, it is, and it's also about, boot camp in the military is a lot about that show, the graduation ceremony, where everybody's in their dress blues at the end, and the whole family is going to fly down to, you know, in my time it was San Diego, but wherever the training bases are now, and put on a big show for the parents, all and make them feel really good about little Jimmy, Timmy, or whoever going over to seas to fight
Die.
For whatever bullshit cause they've convinced the people is okay.
Why the hell were you in? Well, you know what? More on that after this after this break.
you got him hanging now, boy.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Good news, anyone?
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. We've launched another podcast called Skeptically Yours. It's hilarious and informative. Check it out if you don't believe me. SkepticallyYours.net. That's where you go. Go there now or later, whenever. I don't really care. Just go. Check it out and stop bugging me. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Jamie Ian Swiss, Jason Ressler, and Maurice Northup. Again, thanks for being here, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Why were you in the Navy? To sail the seven seas?
Well,
did you go in the Navy?
In the Navy.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to
find. Yeah, I was in the Navy. I was the oldest of four brothers in my family. My whole life, I heard the day I was 18, I had to get the hell out. As it approached, I got more and more nervous about that. My grandfather was a Pearl Harbor survivor, so we'd always, a lot of Navy tradition type of stuff.
Tragedy begets tragedy.
Yeah, pretty much. And the recruiter showed up at the door on the right day, and I was ready to get the hell out of there. And he was like,
"That's because your mom was upstairs going, yeah, I think he's pretty low now. Hit him."
pretty much.
So what? How long were you in?
6 years.
Cool. Wow. Did you have to shit on your somebody's pillow to get out? I mean, how'd you get out? Was your hitch up?
In my time was up. Okay. I had 2 years of reserves after my initial 4 years. I got out right as Bill Clinton was coming into office, and the reenlistment bonus for my particular job had been taken away as part of some cutbacks that, you know, now I totally agree with. But at that point in my life, I was like, shit, that was going to be the down payment on a house. You know, I had the young kid and everything. But
you were pissed at Clinton.
It sounds so funny to say from anybody who knows me now, but yes, I was at the time.
It's amazing, isn't it? I wonder if we're ever right.
That's why my dad was such a hardcore Republican. He was, career military. You know, Ronald Reagan made it strong in military and gives me money, bonuses. So that was...
Well,
you know.
Right?
When I got out, I used a little bit of GI Bill money I took nothing but political science and American history courses because that's what I was interested in. And I put that together along with what I saw in the Navy, things like ordering $350 rubber mallets, you know, because the fiscal year is about to be over. And if you don't spend all of this money, you're not going to get as much next year and all that kind of waste.
I was on the USS Iowa last weekend, and we were taking the tour, and I saw a screw with a flat head sliced through it the size of my own fucking head. So when you hear about these special tools they're paying for, yeah. Maybe it's a tool that only a giant can fucking hold. I mean, that's a $350 screwdriver, in my opinion, to screw in that motherfucker.
Well, so the argument could almost, you know, to somebody who's not been in that situation and worked on that stuff, that argument almost makes sense, Emery, except for I know that I ordered these things when there were three other brand new ones just like it sitting in the drawer that I hadn't used in my previous 3 years of service.
This is what the libertarians scream bloody murder about. How the fuck do we fix this?
You can talk about government waste without being a libertarian, okay? Yeah. I mean, I don't know that... one naturally begets the other. Okay?
Graft is
I only talk to libertarians. No, I mean, it's funny. You know, when I was a Republican, I screamed this too. You know, and then when I kind of considered myself a liberal for pretty much the bulk of my life, I found myself kind of not giving a shit about that. It's kind of weird, right? What is that about? Why, as a liberal, Did I really not, at that point in my life, did I really not give a shit? And it seems like I was not meant to be a Republican, for starters. But then when I switch over, I'm like, I was skeptical about these stories. And now I've got a guy sitting across from me confirming that there is that kind of
government. Sure, those stories
are
not hard to confirm. I don't think there's much question about that. I mean, the system beats you down a little bit, too, as far as caring. You know,
yeah, no, I mean, I'd rather get laid than look that shit up, you know? My mom's got me looking up 9/11 right now.
Oh, is she a 9/11 denier?
No, she's not. She listened to a show with James Inman, whom used to be a friend of mine and no longer
is. I know
is.
James.
Oh, yeah. He's not your friend anymore. You've disowned him.
I'm going to beat the fuck out of James Inman one day.
James, I hope you're listening.
He's got a lot of people like that.
Oh, my God. Like Inman is an awful man.
You didn't hear this podcast.
Yeah. He was on the show.
Or spend a week with him.
It wasn't about him being on the show. It was about him coming on my show and then not signing a release for the BBC who came in to film it. You dick. I will ass rape you. Sign the fucking release. He spent an hour and a half in here, and then he asked me to throw away a half hour of my show.
I'm not signing
a fucking thing.
Oh, my God. There's no release for this. What?
What was his reason?
He didn't want to look stupid.
Do you not know him?
Well, yeah, but...
His reason was he spent a half hour... I coaxed him into spending a half hour of our show, the premium version of the show, talking about 9/11. And he was afraid, this is how delusional he is, that he was afraid that would affect sales of a movie he was in. A movie, by the way, where he pisses his pants and is pissed on.
Was there some kind of puking going on as well?
There's copious amounts of puking. Because, you know, people are going to be offended that he thinks 9/11 was an inside job and therefore not go buy a movie where he's puking all the time.
I have to move this up on my Netflix queue.
It did just bump it up for me. I didn't know it was a movie. I thought I saw it on Facebook.
I thought it was your life fucking story.
I thought it was just like a way to try to get booked. And, I thought it was like his version of the evolution of comedy thing.
If you haven't seen The Unbookables, check it out. Send him in a letter. Let him know that you presumed that he was a UFO buff and a 9/11 conspiracy jagoff so that he can apparently rest easy in his drunken stupor. But here's the thing. The 9/11 thing got my mom looking at it, and she's looking at it with an open mind and thinking critically about it.
Yes.
And she came across a couple of things that got her eyebrow up. One of them was some woman that was that claimed she was in the CIA. Now, when you go and you look from a debunker's point of view, who's exposing this woman for what she's claiming? Because that's how I always kind of go compare and contrast.
Did she know
stories.
Chuck Barris? Okay.
She did. I just heard the Chuck Barris story. Do you know about Chuck Barris?
Yeah.
Do you know the book he wrote?
That's the Gong Show guy.
Yeah, he
right?
claimed,
right.
He was in
the allegedly.
He wrote a book about being a hitman.
What?
Yeah. I had never heard that. Penn mentioned it to me. Just
I didn't know that.
I think he had a beef flip too.
Yeah, and he kept his he kept his tongue in his cheek the whole time. He pretended like he was a hitman.
He played it straight till the end.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was the ultimate.
That's the best way to sell that one. If you're gonna you can't. I'm just fucking with you guys. I wasn't really in the CIA. Once you play that card,
I should have stayed in the wheelchair. You think?
Yeah, what was that? I heard about that. You were in a wheelchair?
I pretended to be in a wheelchair for a year.
I heard a story, and I don't know if it's true. I heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's true or not, involving A. Whitney Brown.
Yeah, A. Whitney spat on me.
He spat on you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what I heard was a lie.
Oh, really? What did you hear?
I heard he hit you.
See how that happens.
Man, I love the telephone game.
Because people would always ask me, do you know Emery? I'm like, yeah, he used to be his roommate years ago. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, I heard he's in a wheelchair. Was he in an accident or something? I'm like, knowing that you had the wheelchair as a desk chair.
Yeah.
Living with you and knowing that you would sometimes.
You knew I was equipped to pull a scam.
I didn't know for sure. I didn't know for sure that you hadn't been in an accident and that something terrible had happened to you. But I was pretty certain. It was a safe guess that you were fucking around with people. So I'm like, I don't know. I hope he's fine. I would tend to think he's probably just, fooling
was
around with
people. Was it the same chair?
Yeah.
Still has it.
It's a great chair.
I had a new sling put in it so it looked fresh, and I had it painted.
It looks like one of those chairs from, what was that, the wheelchair, the death man. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, like the
what was the name of
murder
that?
Ball or whatever.
Murder ball. It looks like a murder ball chair. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So it was murder on my balls. But I pretended to be in it it went 2 years. I started it before the Aristocrats was landed, and then the Aristocrats kept me too busy to actually go out to Kansas City, where I kind of had started the whole bullshit, and release everybody by standing up at the end of a show. So I had to wait 2 years, but I was able to pull off 2 years to the day that I began this this experiment. To the day
hoax.
I was
that's what you're calling it.
It's a hoax.
I was tired of walking. What do you want from me?
Did it get you laid?
No, it almost did.
What a fucking waste.
It's too bad.
How often?
It's too bad you're not.
I gotta tell you a story.
Because people in wheelchairs get free drinks all the time. If you'd been a drunk, you'd been
The way you're treated is both awesome and horrific.
You're not driving.
Right. Yeah, right. And that's why I did it. I wanted to experience that. And one of the things that happened, I was in Florida and I was visiting an old friend who's never been. It's always been a flirt, but never been a sexual conquest or opportunity. And man, she was hanging out with me and being fucking psycho flirty and asking about it with whether my cock worked or not and all that shit. Yeah, yeah. And then years later, she comes to California. I was visiting her in Florida, and she picked me up in the chair and everything. And then she moves here and becomes a roommate for a little while. And she was so mad. She walked in my house, and I'm just standing there, and she's like, "Oh my God! What in the fuck happened?" I'm like, "Oh, I was faking. You son of a bitch! I was gonna blow you that night." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I couldn't let you, and I couldn't let her. That's wrong. I mean, that's immoral."
That's because you have morals.
Yeah, it's immoral. I never took money as a comic performing in the wheelchair. I didn't do. I didn't allow anything to happen that would be even perceived as an immoral as
exploitative.
As if I was exploiting this in order to get X. I just didn't do it. So, yes, I could have gotten laid.
Cool, hand
Jamie
job.
Ian Swiss.
I don't know if you can count that as getting laid, but you could have gotten sexual contact.
She wanted to suck my cock. But then, yeah.
It's just the
only if it wasn't broken.
Well, then that's exactly. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe it was just like she wanted to know if she was the one that could still help him achieve that.
Yeah. Exactly.
What does this have to do with Atheism Plus?
Why does it have to have anything to do with
that? He told us at the beginning this may meander towards dick jokes.
Yeah. It tends to. Yeah. The show.
I don't think it meandered, actually. I think
No.
Drove straight to hell.
It is interesting to me, though, and how it applies to atheism, because you really did perform an extended act of deception, as a social experiment. And that makes me wonder what it's like for a priest who is questioning. You know,
I've been looking, and you might be able to help me find one. I don't know if that's true, Jamie, but I'm looking for a priest turned atheist who would come on and talk about his experience.
Well, I mean, I know they're out there, yeah. For sure. My friend Julia Sweeney,
yeah,
she did this wonderful one-woman show.
I've left a few messages for her. She hasn't called back. I'd like to get her on.
She's the greatest.
She's a busy lady.
Yes, she's very busy. And did you ever hear the show? I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And she got, I remember she told me the first letter like this she got. She got a letter from a priest talking about the show and how powerful it was to him and so forth, and saying to her, I don't believe, but I have no choice but to do what I do in my life now. I'm, you know, in my 40s. I have no job skill. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely blown away when she got this very heartfelt confessional. Dare I use the
term?
Thank you very much. And nice. Wait, give Emery a moment to explain it.
Okay.
And he would have if he gotten it. So
I only explain it when I'm trying to figure it out.
Exactly. A window into the process. But the thing that really killed her was that this was only the first of several. And she got multiple letters.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many priests are out there who don't believe?
Penn says if you want to, the quickest way to becoming an atheist, I'm paraphrasing, is to read the Bible.
Read the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it for me. Leviticus turned me into an atheist very, very quickly.
Mark Twain, I think, said the same thing, the best cure for Christianity.
Is the Bible.
Is the way he worded it.
Which, nice.
Right.
There we go back to rewriting another person's material.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you guys heard about the Clergy Project? It's a website and
a support system for people trying to get out of the clergy.
They can come in there anonymous and just be able to vent, talk, ask questions, and it's for clergy who just want support because it's their job, their livelihood, their family, their whole community, their world. They'll be ostracized if you know some of them will be ostracized if they let people know that they don't believe what they're preaching.
My name's Father O'Malley, and I'm a liar.
I have to live like a refugee.
Well, you know, in the skeptic movement, atheist movement as well, you meet a lot of people who come out of those worlds. You know, some of the most prominent leaders in the skeptic community, Michael Shermer.
Yeah. Really? What's his background?
Was a born again.
I was too.
DJ Grothy, president of the Randy Foundation, was in divinity school. Trying to think Brian Keith Dalton, who does Mr. Deity, was a Mormon. He calls himself a foreman.
Yep.
So, you know, and then we know BJ has been on the show, right?
Yeah.
We know Joshy Berger, those guys who come out of the Jewish Hasidic and Orthodox Jewish community.
Right.
They pay high prices. Deborah Feldman spoke at. Have you run across Deborah Feldman?
I have.
She's written a book. She's got a second one on the way. And she was a speaker at my conference, the Nexus Northeast Conference on Science and Skepticism in New York. And she came out of the Hasidic community in New York. And she is, I think, if I have this correctly, the first woman. She got a divorce. And she is the first woman who managed to escape the Hasidic community with custody of her child.
Oh, wow.
Because the Hasidic leadership has tremendous control on the courts. They have the rights to make legal decisions.
Right.
And so it's almost impossible for that to happen. I don't think it ever happened before. And this is a brave talk about. You know, we toss around words like courage. But, man, when I heard this woman's story, it was breathtaking what she went through. She saw the plan ahead of her of what she would have to do, and frankly, the deception she would have to execute over an extended period of time in order to manipulate the circumstances so that she could escape with her child.
Wow.
Deborah Feldman.
She couldn't use the American court system to.
Not as simple as that in that community. Just the same way they have influence in the local school system, they have influence in the legal system as well.
Wow.
Did you guys hear about this Muslim sect that had been living underground outside a city in Russia?
No.
For 10 years. Yeah. For 10 years, this guy declared himself a prophet, which apparently is it's verboten in the, you know, Muhammad said there would be no prophets after him. So to declare yourself a prophet is That's a bad sign right there. So he declares himself a prophet, and he takes his little community people, and there's you know, a large group of them, and they're living underground, at, like under this three-story building, and they've got a substructure, and there were a handful of them, like three or four guys that would go up and work a job and make money, and everybody else lived underground. There were children that were born underground that had never seen the sunlight. Ugh. Teenage girl, 16 years old, had a baby down there. So they were discovered, and they're charging some of them with child abuse and stuff like that. But, wow. I mean, just, I can't wow. imagine. Like, I thought it sucked to not have Nintendo. You know, I'm like, but to live underground. I'm like, God, Mom, Atari.
Well, Atari. when was this discovered? And how do
this
we know
just,
how they were discovered?
Like, a couple weeks ago, two, three weeks ago.
Right.
Wow, that's...
I don't know the details on how they were discovered. It was just a little blurb that popped up in the story. Didn't have a lot of details on it. And right. I'm so busy with this tour and other crap, I unfortunately don't get to read all the stuff I want to read.
I'm going to go read about this. I want to know how long they got away with hiding completely away from everybody. And I want to weigh that against the probability of whether or not there might be a Bigfoot.
Joe just posted the link on the wall.
He does a big chunk of his material about Bigfoot.
Yeah?
Yeah, in the show. So
what'd Joe say?
He posted the link of the Muslim sect living underground with children for
nice.
A decade.
There we go. Thank
in
you, buddy.
The link in the,
thank you, JR.
Wall reason.
You're a good man, allegedly.
Are you tired of the I don't believe you're going to a skeptic event? Every time
oh,
you
well,
say
well, when we started the National Capital Area Skeptics, the first button we put out was I'm so skeptical I can hardly believe it.
So you started this bullshit.
Exactly.
It's such a bad joke, but it's, I don't know. Harmless enough.
I can't believe it.
The children have been examined by a number of medics who found the health condition of the underworld children satisfactory. What does that mean?
It means that they were well taken care of.
It means they go to a
start
Russian
digging that
hospital.
Hole.
They went to a Russian hospital. All teeth, all arms. Legs. All teeth, all arms. Legs.
It also says they were properly nourished but very dirty.
Yeah. They lived in the dirt.
They, they talked like Emery.
I wonder if that changed their, like, I mean, what they did for, because, you know, when animals go underground, they'll literally, their eyes will get
Emery, you need more than 10 years to evolve a mole's nose.
I don't know anything about evolution. I can't thank you enough. Do we have anything to press before we leave the free part of the show?
I'm at the Magic Castle this week in Hollywood. My website is honestliar.com.
Jamie Ian Swiss at the Magic Castle. How about you guys?
Check out theevolutionofcomedy.com. We're in Denver. The 1st and 2nd of September. We'll be in Albuquerque on the 29th of September.
Yeah, and check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JASON. RESLER.
I think that YouTube thing is going to get popular.
One of these days, that's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. I want to thank our guests, Jamie Ian Swiss, Jason Ressler, and Maurice Northup. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and New Dissident Radio. Tune in next week when our guests will be
Peter Zakos and others.
And we will be talking about
baby penises. Leave them alone.
That's exactly right. This has been the free version of episode 81. Another show that went off without a hitch.
Right.
We miss you, Hitch. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to the ardentatheist.com/premium website and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, JR Plus, Swam, and our digital publicist and webmaster, Cameron Facebook Hater Winters.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.
So that was a little early.
Calculate.
Yeah. 5 minutes early.
5 minutes early?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll survive it.
They're going to be pissed.
So much for that without a hitch thing.
I know, right? Should we go back on?
Yeah.
Yeah, like right now.
All right. We're back on the air.
Hi, everybody. This is Heather Henderson.
The finger of mock.
The bell rang a little bit early.
Now, wait a minute. The reason that happened is because I had started rolling our record about 5 minutes early when we were sitting down and we were doing stings.
Oh, so you were looking at the digital.
And I looked at the wrong...
clock.
The wrong clock. So if you're still listening to Ardent Atheist... Which you have no reason to
they
be.
They have left. How many? Can you tell how many listeners are live right now?
Actually, yeah. Hold on. No, there's we were at about 20. There's 18. Maybe we lost a couple.
Damn it. So, Mom's still with
so
us, aren't you, Mom?
So we got two pissed off people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were people complaining on the wall that we finished?
They were like, okay, bye. Great show. Great show. I was like, wait. Somebody laughed
Hold
at the
on,
finger
we
of
still
mock.
Have homework Thank for you. Get back in class.
What I love is I'm going to do the full show ending
Mom's
again.
Here.
How should we end the show? That's what I want to do. I want to figure out how to end it on time. I know what we'll do. All right. We'll continue our discussion just as we were having it earlier.
Uh-huh.
And on exactly the right moment, the last person to say goodbye at the right moment wins the bet.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So we got to figure out how.
What's the bet?
So everybody has to look at their watch.
You win. The bet
yeah, I know. What's
Thank
the
God,
bet, right?
The voice of rationality.
Shut up!
All right.
I'm glad
we now know which person with a microphone
together.
Actually can think.
I hate Jamie Eastwood so much.
Except you want to have his baby. I heard that earlier.
I don't want to have. When did I say that?
Yesterday.
That's what you should do. Don't fake being in a wheelchair. Fake being pregnant.
There you go.
I don't think.
Well, the first moment a man becomes pregnant, the reproductive rights will change.
Yeah, abortion will be
legal.
I mean,
everything will be legal. All the kind of medications you want. You know, no pain for anyone ever.
You mean I shouldn't have gotten that abortion?
You'll be allowed
to abort whatever you want.
Yeah. You'll be allowed to abort at age 17.
As soon as men become
pregnant. I don't know why men think that they have the right. It's all about religion. We wouldn't be doing this if not for religion, would we? We wouldn't be restricting women's rights if not for religion.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, religions are always fundamentally anti-woman.
The Romans allowed execution of your child up until the age of 18. The male head of household could kill anyone in his family.
Well, that sounds religious.
That's a good old
thing. We need to bring that back.
It all is.
We do need to bring that back.
Yeah, bring that back.
They need to bring that back.
Says the guy with a college, you know, belly campaign.
Well, this has been fun.
No.
What?
We're going to cover another 2.5 minutes.
With what?
Nice tits.
They all want me to take my shirt off for some reason.
Okay,
that's
take
what
it
they're
off.
Saying on the
no
wall.
No objections.
The pituitary. Take it off.
All right, it's off.
No.
Impressive.
Good radio.
Give me the camera.
Impressive.
Shut up. It's all right, trickery.
Okay, me first.
Yeah. You think the magician would be in on it.
First person who gives Emery a blowjob wins. Go.
I lose again. I never win this game.
It's the old joke.
Yeah, but yours was back in 1986.
It's the reverse of the old joke. A guy shoots a bird on another guy's land, and he's going to pick it up, and a guy comes out with a shotgun and goes, "What are you doing?" He's going, I just shot this quail. I'm just taking it home. This is my land. Do you guys know this joke?
Go ahead.
Finish it.
No. And he goes. You're not taking that bird. It's my bird. He goes, come on, man. Really? Don't be a dick. He goes, all right, deal. I'll make a deal with you. Here's the deal. He goes, kick each other in the nuts. He goes, first one down, he don't get the bird. How about that? He goes, well, I drove all the way up from all the way up from New York City. I'll take you up on your bet. Guy goes, all right. I'll go first. Kicks him in the balls. Guy falls down, staggers around, fucking throws up, gets back up, centers himself up, gathers himself, and says, all right, my turn. He goes, you can have the duck. I think it was a quail at the beginning, but I don't know. Yeah, you can
Did he talk like that?
Yeah, that's how all funny people talk. That's how the guy talked that ran me off of his land when I was trying to pick mushrooms in Texas.
1 minute.
What?
Oh, is anybody left
I love
out
how
there?
That southern yeah. voice was in the north.
We got Gary Parsons, Joe Swan.
Hey, all rednecks.
To get to
all rednecks are
south.
Rednecks.
Right.
It's like, I support a border fence on the north end of Alabama.
Goodbye. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I won the bet.
No, that means you're out.
Justin
you're
Bakula, out. Moctavius, Fran, Aaron Hoover, Emery's mom, Wendy Hughes, Kyle Delaney, Chris Elzinga, Simon Magus, Magus. God damn it. Mikey hates it. See, if you're talking on the Wall of Reason, the new Wall of Reason, and you just put any old name in there, I'm going to read it. So if your name is like Carrie, Poppy,
well, people
Rick
get to
Justice,
pick their name on the Wall of Reason.
Yeah,
right?
They get to pick it out. But I don't. If you don't put your last name, I can't say it either.
Oh, right.
Is Carrie out there?
Carrie Poppy was there last week. These are all the people that were on the wall last week.
I see.
J.R. Swam, Carl Franca, Mike Hawk. See, this is getting boring now.
Justin Cider.
My cock.
Justin Cider.
Yes, my cock.
Time's up. Bye. There.